is so amazing. He knows everything about us. He knows what's going to happen before it ever happens, and he has a master plan. He knew in advance what was going to happen to poor Ali's mum and Ali tonight. And he also, next Sunday morning, I'm preaching away on this very topic. And I'd already made preparations for that. So what you're going to get is sort of next Sunday morning's sermon with bits and pieces added. I wonder, how many of you have ever watched that series on BBC, Who Do You Think You Are? How many of you? How many have been tempted to delve into ancestry on the computer? Yes, a few. I know my wife's done it. She found that with my name, Foot, she trolled Foot right back, and in the 18th century, it turns out that the Foot family made boots, which I thought was not the boots, the chemist, I mean boots. But I was impressed by the fact that this program, Who Do You Think You Are, has been so successful. It's run, I think, to 11 or 12 series currently. Well over 100 celebrities have been through it. And I wondered why. Well, I think the answer is that we all inside want to know who we are. Identity. Our identity is fundamental to our humanity. It's one of, I believe, the two most important questions we can ever ask. The first, we're not covering tonight, but who is God? And the other, I. Of our identity. Of that question, who do you think you are? And it's a kind of how to pomp something which is not appropriate. Who do you think you are? In a short John's Gospel, we see these two ways of asking the same question. The next day, Jesus decided to leave it. He said to him, "Follow me." Andrew and Peter was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "True Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you King of Israel." In that short passage, we see this question, who do you think you are, asked in these different ways. It's almost, when Nathanael heard from Philip about Jesus, he almost was saying, "Who do you think you are? How can you possibly be anything special out of Nazareth?" But then Jesus turned it round, because he spoke, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." Jesus affirmed the true identity of Nathanael. No wonder he was blown away. So who do we think we are? Our identity is, I believe, one of the great foundations of our lives. Where we get the answer to that question from is vitally important. Physically, of course, we begin by identity from our parents. We have no choice over that. Incidentally, let's pray and wear appropriate lobby that designer babies never come to be legal. However, there's much more than simply our birth. It's a complex issue of how our identity develops. It stems, of course, from relationships. From the earliest relationships with a baby on the mother's breast. How mother and father relate to the child. But then, as we grow up, there will become other significant in our lives, whether it's teachers or friends or our personal heroes. But all of those can be flawed. We can hero worship somebody and then they turn out to be, in our eyes, fatally flawed. Perhaps we've almost worshipped a sports person. It's discovered that they've aided their ability with drugs. Perhaps our parents let us down. Perhaps our parents separate. Perhaps teachers that we were thought were so absolutely wonderful have been discovered to be abusive in some way or other. Perhaps friends let us down, just need them. Ultimately, our identity needs to come from the one who never lets us down, who is ever faithful, for whom there is nothing bad, the one who is good. Of course, I mean the Lord, I mean God. It's what he says about us. It's about our relationship with him that roots our true identity. Why is that? Well, it happens right at the beginning of creation. In Genesis 1, we read this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. We see our ultimate identity is that we carry, however flawed, we carry the image and likeness of Almighty God. It's what makes us human. Did you know that 50% of your genes you share with a banana? 75% of your genes you share with a housefly. 98% of your genes you share with a chimpanzee. So biologically, we're only human by 2% of our genes. But actually, that's a bit of science. What actually makes us human is that we are imprinted with the image and likeness of Almighty God. But perhaps the thing that comes out of that little story of Nathaniel, which is so vital, is that God doesn't see us as a sea of 7 billion people on the planet. He doesn't see us like one of those swarms of ants that we see on David Attenborough's show, all looking identical, all going all over the place. No, he sees every single one of us as individuals. He knows every single one of us as an individual. That's what blew Nathaniel's mind. That Jesus said, "I saw you." I saw you. And the Lord sees each one of us with all our funny foibles and funny ways. That doesn't matter to him. He sees us as individuals. And in that, he loves us. We are every one of us different, unique. Of course, we've been told that our fingerprints are unique, that our DNA is unique. But we're unique on a totally different level. Every one of us is different because God has made us to be different. Characters, different abilities, different traits. We are unique physically, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. Someone once said long ago, after making me, God threw the mould away. And somebody at the turn of the century, what is it about don't be somebody else? Stop trying to be. Yes, try not to be different. Oscar Wilde, I'd forgotten the thing. But this is the wonderful thing about our identity. Our identity is bound up with God. You see, if you haven't fully grasped this business of our identity, you will be tempted to think that you're a nobody, that you're a waste of space. And if you begin to think that, or rather, because sometimes we all think that from time, if you give in to that thinking, then you will live. Came away, I tried to find some later figures in the short, but I couldn't. But the figures, the latest figure I have was in 2012. The Samaritans had over 600,000 calls from people who were contemplating suicide or with suicidal thoughts. 600,000 people. And the sad that I do know is that the suicide rate amongst youngsters, teenagers, is growing. Why? Because deep down, they don't recognize their true identity. You see, God sees each of us as we are. It doesn't actually matter to him if we don't feel good, if we feel problems. He loves us anyway, and he wants us to know that our identity is rooted in him. See, once we see ourselves as him, once we know that we are loved by him unconditionally, then that changes everything. But let me tell you this too. It also changes how we view other people. How we view people who are not as nice as us. How we view people who do horrendous things in Manchester, London, or wherever. How we see them. You know that the terrorists who blew up all those people awfully in Manchester last year, they're people made in the image and likeness of God. That image has been severely flawed, but they're still loved by the Lord. Jesus still died for them, even if they don't recognize it. I was given a book for Christmas, The Way of the Dragon or The Way of the Lamb. I've written a review of it, and it may well be in next month's Courier magazine. And one of the things that comes out in that book is the fact that we all, with these thoughts of who we are, who defines how we behave, how we act, what we think about ourselves. And it is a battle, because for many of us, who we are depends on what we do, how good we are at something. What do we do? Jenny and I are old enough to watch Pointless on a late afternoon on the telly. And when the contestants are introduced, what is the first question that Alexander Armstrong asks them? What do you do? Because somehow, in the world's eyes, it's what we do that defines us. I tell you, it isn't. It's who we are. Who we are in Christ. When Paul preached his sermon on the hill in Athens, he talked about the God in whom we have our being, not the God in whom we have our doing. I'll be honest with you, I love preaching. I've been preaching for 40 years now, and I love it. It is the thing that I like doing probably best, equally with praying for people and seeing them healed. But I love it. But 14 years ago, I'd been a vicar for 6 months. Christmas, I suddenly had what I thought was a stroke. In fact, it turned out to be something called a TIA, a transient ischemic attack. But it had all the symptoms of a stroke. My mouth went all funny, my arm went all limp, etc. It lasted only for a minute or so. But I had 6 of them in the space of about 8 hours. Ended up, of course, in hospital. But as I lay in hospital, what came to my mind beyond anything was, I'm never going to be able to preach again. I'm never going to be able to preach again. And it was almost as if the Lord was saying to me, as I look back, you know, your identity is a bit tied up preaching. And if that preaching is taken away, who are you? And in those moments, lying in that hospital bed, I came to realize afresh that who I am is not what I do. It's who I am in Christ, in His being, rather than my doing. And my doing comes out of who I am, not the other way round. So who do you think you are, is the question I want to ask you tonight. How do you view yourself? Do you believe what God or do you believe what the world would say about you, that you're only an important person if you do something useful, if you succeed in life? I want to encourage all you youngsters here. Don't take what I'm saying to think that you mustn't work hard on your studies. You mustn't try to achieve the best that you possibly, because you are to do that. God wants us to be the very best people we can. But if, like our curate, we've got a PhD, does that make him a better person than my wife, who's just got 4 O-levels? Of course not. Of course not. Because in God's eyes, they're equally wonderful, equally beautiful, equally precious. So whether you've got some high-flying degree, or you've only got a handful of O-levels, or even no qualifications, you are still precious. Neither of those things define identity. I want to end with a quote from this book, which has really challenged me. James Houston, who many, many years ago left a wonderful high-flying post in, I can't remember whether it was Oxford or Cambridge University, to go across the world to Vancouver in Canada to found a theological college. Had no money, nothing, but the Lord had called him to do it. And it's become one of the premier colleges for theology in the world, Regent College. James Houston. He told this to the authors of this book near the end of his life. What we face in the world today is self-achieving. But as Christians, we believe in a given identity, not an achieved one. The Christian is found in Christ. The self-achieved identity is very fragile because we have to work to sustain it. Nobody else is going to sustain it for us when we've built it up ourselves. It is a tendency to narcissism. Incidentally, I looked that up to check what it meant. It means excessive interest in oneself and concern constantly about one's physical appearance. The result of this is a tendency to narcissism because of this depleted sense of self. This is not aimed that we should have to identify us. He has given us identity. We haven't earned it. He's given it freely. My prayer tonight and over this course in these next 3 months is that each one of us will recognize and give thanks to the Lord. I am who you are. And when the world or your mind or the devil tries to tell you otherwise, go back to what God says about you, about what He has made you to be. Amen. I've prepared a few sheets here. Comes from a course that some of you may be familiar with, but who am I in Christ? And it's under three headings. I am significant, I am secure,